Hi, Julian Pensavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Fam, we're breaking into your feed to bring you another feed drop from our Patreon feed.
So this is Scamanda, yeah. Episode 1.
I've never seen people more up in arms about anything in a very long time.
I'm really sick of these jerks,
yeah.
Faking cancer.
Oh, my God.
I'm over it. I feel like we just did this. Oh, we did.
Well, I know.
Like, I'm so done.
No, it's really crazy. This is one of the craziest stories I think we've ever covered. This is maybe some of the maddest I've been in a long time.
It's infuriating.
Yeah. So, fam, here's the deal. This is the 4-part series. We covered all 4 episodes on Patreon. All 4 episodes are available right now and ad-free. It's where you get all of our other Patreon content covering, yep. What's the other stuff?
Oh, God. We're doing Fox Hollow right now, the, yes. Fox Hollow murders.
About to do what's her name?
Well, it's called A Body in the Snow. Okay. It's about the death of John O'Keefe, but it's the Karen Reed trial.
Every person I know is from Massachusetts because that's where I grew up. So everyone is asking me because the trial is happening right now. So everyone's asking me if we're covering it. I'm like, we're doing it starting in like a week. I promise.
I promise.
I know.
Better or worse.
But anyway, it's over 450 full ad-free bonus apps to download a binge right now, including the entire Scamanda series. Go listen and get mad with us.
Yeah, and I have to say, as mad as we are, we have a bunch of amazing women here.
Truly.
Really getting shit done. Yeah. And also a really cute dog named Mr. Munch, who's very brave. We discuss it at length.
No.
We love him.
And Nancy, one of the main journalists here, we got an interview with her coming up in a couple of weeks, yep. on the Patreon feed. So if you want more of that, it's going to be there.
She's going to tell us some things.
She sure is.
I'm excited.
All right, fam, we love you. We'll say a quick goodbye on the way out.
Okay.
I know I say this all the time, but I don't think I've ever hated anybody so much as this
Look,
person.
She has tough competition, honestly.
I know.
The episodes are titled Stage 1 through 4.
I know.
So this is not episode 1, it's stage 1. That is insane.
Oh, God.
That is insane behavior.
Hi, Julian Pensavalli.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
Oh, God. New day, new series.
New series, who dis?
I watched this like 4 in a row while I was on the road. I could not put it down.
Now, here's the thing. Full disclosure, I did not listen to the pod.
Neither did
so
I.
So this is all new information.
I tried to listen to the pod, but for some reason, I couldn't get into it. But this series is amazing.
Pretty riveting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's more fake cancer, everyone.
Which is just like, wow.
By the way, in case you're new to Scamanda.
I know.
More fake cancer.
More fake cancer.
Amanda Riley was a mother, wife,
speaker at her church.
Everybody loved her.
She got diagnosed with cancer.
I heard the words, "You have stage 3 blood cancer."
We thought she was God's gift.
When Amanda told me she had cancer, I was so devastated.
A beloved young Christian woman fighting a battle undeserved.
We gave our hearts, our prayers.
Everybody put their hands over her and said, "Heal this woman. Oh God, heal her."
I'm thankful that I have cancer because I am now surrounded by the right people in my life.
There was just something inside of me just saying, "This isn't right."
And then all of a sudden, it went dark.
She was a liar.
Why would somebody fake cancer?
Thousands of people threw money at her.
I started donating $500 a month, $3,000,
$20,000.
The community raised $100,000.
Everyone's lives has been touched by cancer, and that was something Amanda tapped into.
What surprised me is the lengths that she went to fake the cancer.
There's all these pictures of her in the hospital with IVs, tubing.
I could see a nurse in the background.
The information that Amanda gave didn't make sense. These things are not adding up. I don't think she's sick.
Everyone knows. She was being accused of faking cancer. Everyone
knows. I could not believe the level she had taken this scam to.
This is beyond disgusting.
How can a mother do that?
This is an absolute nightmare.
She hurt tons of people.
I've never felt so betrayed.
She ripped apart my family.
I'm sorry. I'm still shaking. Is this normal?
Why would somebody fake such a horrible disease?
It was only a matter of time until Amanda's whole world came tumbling down.
Oh my God!
I was like, ha, you're lying and you're getting caught. This is over. But it wasn't. Not even close.
Right at the top, we meet Charlie Webster. She was the host of the Scamanda podcast.
Yes.
And she tells us that Amanda's whole story takes place around the San Francisco Bay. This is important because this is where, like, rich people live.
Super, super rich people.
Yeah.
The area is extremely rich. So Amanda C. Riley's the faker.
Yes.
She grew up in California. She married a guy named Corey. He had a daughter named Jessa from a previous relationship. When I tell you, we will get into all of that. Hold tight.
We don't get enough of Corey in this documentary. Part of it is because throughout, we get this interview with Amanda, which is
from the
not-
church.
Yes, it's not for this documentary. I don't know how they got their hands on it.
Oh, yeah. I don't
you know what I mean?
FOIA, but like, requests or whatever?
It's Amanda sitting down talking to the camera about... So it feels like she's a part of the documentary,
oh,
but she isn't.
Not. Yeah.
And I want to know what...
I'm sure she hates that. I hope she hates it.
But do you think she's watched it?
100
like 100
million
times.
Percent. She yeah. has notes.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So Lisa and Steve Berry were Amanda's friends.
We love them.
Love. Their daughters were in the same class at school. They became friends. And Amanda, the fake... and her husband were like the new family in town.
Yeah.
Amanda was probably 24, 25. She was younger than the moms in the class. And she was very excited about being a stepmother to Jessa. Corey seemed very devoted to Amanda. And we introduced Corey and Amanda to other families because they were new. Amanda would say, "You look just like my mother. You are my doppelganger mother."
Now, Amanda calls Lisa, the friend, her doppelganger mother. And I'm like,
woof. And I was like,
that's such a fucking backhanded compliment.
It is, but Lisa's charmed by it.
I guess, until she wasn't.
I was like, I don't know about that. If I had like some young 25-year-old kid who has the kid Daisy's age, be like, "You're like my daddy."
Yes.
No.
So... Amanda and Corey get married in April of 2011.
Yeah.
Super big wedding on the coast, on a cliff. Lisa and Steve are in the wedding.
Now, here's the thing. Corey and Amanda got married by a justice of the peace. They were going to have this big, fancy wedding. We've been so burned by these scammers that I was convinced that this big wedding was never going to happen. And that, like, Lisa and Steve are going to be, "Here's $25,000 for your wedding," or whatever.
Yeah.
The wedding actually does happen.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I think the last real thing that happens in this documentary.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
So they were very close friends. We got it. Documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
We get this for 15 minutes. Everything right. was perfect.
From my understanding from the podcast, there's a reason why, one of the reasons why Lisa is so prominent.
Oh, we'll get
to
no, no, no,
it.
Don't say it. Don't say it.
But it's why they're really driving home how close they were.
Yeah. And also we meet Rebecca, who was one of their friends.
Amanda's beautiful and she's vivacious. I honestly was so like enraptured with Amanda that I offered to help photograph her wedding. I worked with Amanda's mom, Peggy. Peggy had told me a bit about Amanda, and she's like, "You'll love Amanda. She's totally someone you would be friends with. You're just gonna love each other." And I felt that way.
I offered to photograph their wedding. Isn't this an area where we think business and pleasure should not mix?
I agree. I feel like
we
were
talked about this in another
covering something where I was like, "Don't Lisa Frank."
Yes,
where I was like, "Don't hire your friend if they were going to be a guest at your wedding. They can't also
work.
You can't be like, oh, you were going to be there anyway.
Especially
photograph my wedding."
When it comes to the photograph, like this is a thing that some people take so seriously, and you know, Amanda took the fucking wedding photos really seriously.
Yes, and like you should. I mean, if that's your job, if that's what you're getting paid to do, it's too murky.
Seems like it went okay in this instance, but can't you just see? Do we use this term bridezilla? Like, I can just imagine.
Well, Amanda's a nightmare.
Nightmare. Like, Amanda on her wedding day, I cannot imagine.
I thought you were going to say Amanda on her best day is a nightmare, and that is also
totally.
True. Like, she. But I'm sure, like, did you offer to photograph? Like, what was the actual.
I know.
Or was it Amanda being like, "Oh, golly, I wish someone would photograph my wedding"? Like, she's so manipulative.
I know.
And she's such a scammer that I wonder how that actually. Went.
I just can't imagine her not micromanaging the living shit
that
out of
too.
You
She's
know?
A fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
So a year later, Amanda gets pregnant. Jessa is her stepdaughter.
Yes.
And now Amanda's having a baby.
Right.
So soon after this, Amanda and Corey become very active members of the Family Community Church, the FCC.
Barf, 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 barf!
It's a mega church. Someone's like, "Oh, it's like a Hillsong."
It's a church that has close to 5,000 congregants. They either come in person or watch online.
It's classified as a mega church, like Hillsong or Lakewood Church in Houston. Thousands and thousands of people attend these services that are more like events. They have preachers on stage, guest speakers, music, and guitars. It was like going to a concert, but for the Lord.
Like, in and of itself, it's just, like, so... Like, I know that, like, not everybody covered the documentary the way that we did, but, like, that is scary.
It's scary.
Like, there's
too big. Too grand.
And we know that they scientifically engineer the music to make you feel things.
But it's, like, not the point.
Right.
It's, like, not the point.
There is a store in New York City called Old Good Things, and they've got a couple of locations, and I used to go there all the time, and one day I was in there, and I'm like, this fucking music is awesome.
Oh,
what
you told
is
me
this?
This.
I pulled out my Shazam. It was Hillsong. It was, like, indoctrinating me as
and
I was...
And they never saw you again.
Well, because I went over to the counter, I'm like, are you guys really playing Hillsong?
Yeah.
He's like, he literally says, if you don't like it, you can leave.
Okay, bye.
And I was like, I will be leaving. Goodbye.
Now, everything is a major event at this mega church, as they all are. Lindsay is a church member.
The first time I went to FCC, I walked in there as an atheist. The doors open, there was fog. On the stage, there was this band. It was dim. It was exciting. People were jumping up and down. Everybody had their hands up, praising something, loving each other, just generally being happy. It was almost as love was raining down like confetti. People were like, hi, welcome.
She was in.
Because she heard the scientifically proven method of their music.
She's like, everyone's hands were in the air.
Literally, it's like, Lindsay, like, they get you with the music.
This is what they wanted, Lindsay.
No, y'all
and
know.
And the fact that she was an atheist.
Totally.
Lindsay is the ultimate boss, of who they want to convert.
Yes,
She used to be an atheist, and now she's...
I am not coming for your God. I am not coming for your prayers. I believe in God, and I fucking pray. It's the mega church, scientifically
engineered...
Well,
it's engineered... not, like I was saying, it's not the point.
Exactly.
I'm all about your spirituality.
Totally. Just understand when you're in a cult is all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
You know?
This
By
is
the
exactly
way, I know people who were in Hillsong. I know them. I am a close friend of somebody who is only not currently in Hillsong because she doesn't live here anymore. It's a cult. And I've had this fight with her.
Really?
Yes.
What is her response?
She's like, no, it's just church. I'm like, no, it's a cult. And she's like, no, it's just church. And I'm like, okay.
No, it's not.
No, it isn't.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
To say it's just church is just...
It is.
Definitively untrue.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to our podcast, so it's okay. You can say whatever you
want.
No,
I'm just saying, like, say, oh, it's church, but...
Right.
No, but don't say, it's just church. No, it's not.
It's not.
It's like, and they do it that way. That's
right.
The point, is that
yes.
It's like, not your grandmother's church. Like, that's
right.
The point of it.
I am Lindsay. If I went to one church, and she used to try to get me to go with her before I knew it was called Hillsong, but before I knew what Hillsong was.
Yeah.
And I...
Down when it was like in Irving Plaza or
whatever.
Yes.
If I had gone to one service, I would have been converted. I'd be Lindsay.
Oh, God.
I know.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Amanda's very popular at FCC.
Yeah, of course.
She's very active. She's running their social media.
Oh,
by 2012, Amanda is a mother.
Jillian, do you want to go to Hillsong with me this week?
I do not. It's the last thing.
But it's
Can you
really
imagine?
Great. I love going there.
No.
I'm a congregant.
No.
Okay.
No. And again, like, I love spirituality. I am a very spiritual person. Have your God, have your prayers, like you were saying.
Totally.
But, like, don't join a cult.
I know.
And I'm not the insane one here.
No. Anyway.
So it's 2012. Amanda's a mother, stepmother. She's super active in the church. Everything is amazing.
I know.
Everything's coming up, Amanda.
Yeah.
Until she's diagnosed with cancer. It's Hodgkin's lymphoma.
No. We know this is a lie.
It's a lie.
That is not a surprise.
No. Let me say something.
Yeah.
My cousin had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, wow.
It is fucking awful. It was aggressive. He was 18 when he had it.
Oh.
It was a horrible...
Is he still with us?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He is fine. He is now fine. He's married.
Well,
he has healthy kids. He's healthy. But at the time...
Throughout this documentary, we get people sprinkled in who were like, I know from cancer. My wife died from 8 years of battling breast cancer. You know what I mean?
It is devastating.
But that's my big question is, like, how does she know what to say for symptoms? How does she know when she's speaking in front of the church that she's not going to say something that somebody's going to be like, wait, that's not what happens?
Because you can't say that's not what happens.
Uh-huh.
You can't say that. That's why it's a scam that people can do.
Yeah.
And so much of it is being shared online.
Right.
You don't know her.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of it is just the sympathy money. And then no one can say, that feels weird. Right. But, like, your friend is asking you to do this thing. But that's why it's, like, it was devastating to see him go through that. So for someone to lie about
it. Of course.
Is absolutely insane.
I mean, my mom survived stage 4 breast cancer.
Yeah, it's horrifying.
You know?
So no one can believe this. This is so awful. They're gutted for Amanda because it's so sudden. It's super aggressive.
Sorry, one more thing. Are we going to start to live in a world where we're not going to believe people who have cancer?
Start?
Like, is that where we're going?
Welcome, girl.
Oh.
No, I know. I'm not that cynical yet.
Yeah.
But, oh, for sure, have I been like, really?
The thing about you, and I'm sorry, this is just the truth, you always know before everybody else. You just always know before everybody else.
You know what? I'm good at patterns.
Uh-huh.
I'm good at recognizing patterns.
Uh-huh.
So it's not...
Fun, I know.
It's not fun.
Yeah.
But it's also not this, like, mystical, magical thing.
Right.
It's just sort of like, uh-huh.
Jillian just becomes the person in your life that you're like, well, I don't think she's right, but she probably is because she always is. So I'm just going to say, I'm just going to agree with her. Like, that's just what ends up happening.
But I'm not like a bully.
No, you're absolutely not a bully. I'm giving you the compliment. I'm telling you the truth. Like, I just don't want to live in a world where somebody has to be able to, like, not feel like they can tell their friends that they have cancer because people aren't going to believe
them. No, I think that, I mean,
you know,
no, we'll get to it because there are some things where I'm like, that's insane,
yes.
Amanda.
Yes.
Like, we need to stop this.
Well, because it starts with Amanda starts a blog. It's called
even her blog title is insufferable.
And she headlined it very simply, My Story, Our Journey. She wanted the blog to be a place where family and friends could be updated.
Amanda wanted to be inspirational and she wanted to help others.
A lot of people started reading her blog. I mean, it blew up pretty quickly.
The support has been amazingly encouraging, overwhelming, and wonderful.
My story, our journey. But do you see, this
is
what I mean about I'm good at spotting patterns.
Yeah.
It starts with that.
Yes.
My story, our journey. We're all in this together.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think she's doing this for the money, for the attention, or to become famous?
All three.
All three.
And hands down, all
three. She went in with a plan, you think?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think this is her first scam.
Okay.
No way. I think she's been doing this on some level her whole life, and I think her mother's involved.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. So, but it's all very detailed, right? It's all about sharing her story.
And I've known other people who've done this, where it's like, it's a place for family and friends to go for updates. So you don't have to call your every uncle and be like, here's what's going on now.
Sure. And that, like, again, she's doing what works.
Yes.
Because the blog blows up very quickly.
Very quickly.
And she's doing what it takes to make that happen. She's consistent. She's constantly posting. She's giving people the information they want. And, like, other people with cancer or other people who have family members with cancer, because sometimes if you're so sick, you can't really keep up a blog like this.
Yes.
But it is a resource for others. And it is about the awareness because, again, there's no cure for cancer.
Right.
We got to keep talking about it. The squeaky wheel gets the grease or whatever. So we need the awareness. Everything is expensive.
And people need to find community. People need to, like, find other people who are going through the shitty things that they're going through.
So she's taking very real things that do work and using it for her lives.
Right. So Lisa, remember the friend that, like, Lisa of Lisa and Steve, she starts reading the blog and she says,
at some point, I started reading her blog and she's posting pictures and I just was surprised seeing all the attention that she's getting for it. There was just something inside of me just saying, this isn't right.
Because it's like very long posts, lots of photos. Like, she was making dynamic and compelling content for people who needed it.
Yes.
And I think that's important.
And Lisa, we should say, is a little bit older. So, like, she just has a little bit more life experience.
Yeah.
There's just something about this isn't sitting right with
her. And now, like, there are photos from the hospital looking super legit if you're not looking for anything, right?
Yes.
Now, Stephanie Davis is a supporter. She was very into the blog. Her mom was into the blog. Penny is also a supporter. She's a cancer survivor. She's a longtime American Cancer Society volunteer. I'm saying this because there were people who were in this world who were big and vocal supporters of Amanda. And that's what she really needed.
Yeah. And people just are drawn to it for whatever reason.
12 months of testing, 8 months of chemotherapy. And today is my day of bliss. We won.
She's suddenly cancer free.
Suddenly. This marks a very special week. As of Friday, I've been officially labeled as being in soft remission. This is so wonderful. Get out the confetti.
Yeah.
Now, Penny is like, we were rooting for her. And I'm like, that insane Tyra Banks. Like, I was rooting for you. We were all rooting for you. How
Sometimes
dare you?
Sometimes I just will go watch that clip. That
she
clip
was insane.
That, I mean, that clip is pretty, like, Tyra's insane or the model?
Tyra is insane.
Okay. We were all rooting for you.
I am waiting for the documentary about America's Next Top Model.
Oh, yeah.
The outrageous abuse, gaslighting, all kinds of phobias.
There's a reason why RuPaul's Drag Race is the only reality show like that's still on the air.
Like, the blatant racism.
I know.
Fat phobia. I mean, they had models in blackface. In
they did?
Yes!
Oh.
That show was a fucking fever dream. I'm waiting for the documentary.
There will be one,
with all the models talking about how abusive it was and how they're, like, all doing real estate now and not in the modeling industry because fuck that. But Tyler was insane for that
but
shit.
But everybody go watch RuPaul's Drag Race because it is so goddamn good. Oh my God.
So the American Cancer Society is rooting for her. The church community. Oh God, we wouldn't be here without the church community.
So, but this is what Charlie the podcast was saying. She's like, you've got the online community, the American Cancer Society, and the church community. And I just made the note, Amanda's really put herself in a position to scam a lot of people with money. You know what I mean?
Well,
the church is rich. The online community is rich. The American Cancer Society's got deep pockets.
Well, she's got it baked in with the church.
Exactly.
I'm calling it like I see it. Yes. That church is a cult.
Yes.
She has an audience. She has a stage to stand on. And they gave it to her and she took it with both hands.
And they're all just rich people that go to that church.
So Josh is a church member. His father-in-law is the pastor of this FCC thing. He's friends with Amanda and her family. He knew about the blog.
Amanda and Corey became good friends of this family. And I'm like, of course they did.
Of course they did.
Of course they weaseled their
way. By design.
Exactly.
Josh, wake up.
Yeah.
So Amanda starts, quote, giving testimony at this church.
She would start giving testimony from the stage. She could sit there in front of a room of over 1,000 people, give her testimony.
I was so sick. I was hospitalized for weeks at a time. I couldn't get out of bed.
And she would captivate us every time.
It got to the point where I was kind of talking about it and we were praying about it and we weren't really sure what to do.
Let me tell you, she looks as healthy as a horse.
I know.
She looks a healthy person on that stage.
Yeah.
But here's the question. Where's the husband?
That's what I'm saying. Where is Corey
Let's
in all
talk
of
about
this?
The husband. Yeah. Where is he? So Vanna is another church member, Vanna Ruiz. And she's like, everyone knew Amanda as the girl with cancer.
Yes.
And I'm like, Vanna, girl, spill it. You can tell. We don't see Vanna very much in this documentary.
She does a lot of Jillian Pensavalli shifting in her chair.
I know. She sits weird like me. I love it.
But I just love it. She's got shit to say. She's just, she's going
to
say
like,
it when
Vanna,
she's ready.
Vanna, what do you have to say? Because for her to be like, everyone knew her as the girl with cancer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because Amanda did that.
Right.
Like that was, she's like, hi, I'm Amanda. I have cancer. I'm dying. How are you? Again, she's looking as healthy as can be.
I mean, I'm just saying, we have to hear this line in every single episode.
We're angry with God. We try to hide from God. Don't stop talking to him. If you're angry,
but
tell him.
She was so positive. She had charisma.
If you're going through something, share it with him. Give it to him. Don't ignore Jesus because he is always there. And it would be unfortunate if he brought you your miracle and you weren't watching.
What is she, in the mob?
I know.
Real nice set of kneecaps you got there. It'd be a real shame if someone came and bashed them with a baseball bat.
Well, but then
that,
like...
I was like, what is that, a threat?
The guy sitting on the stage with her makes this like...
It's like, woo!
Sound. Like, she's just at the most genius thing.
Everyone jumps to their feet.
I know.
She has everyone hook, line, and sinker.
Truly.
And I'm sorry... These are people in those four walls who are ready to be hooked, line, and sinker.
I'm one of them. If I had gone to that church service with my friend one time, I'd be like, my friend Amanda has cancer.
But it's like the people are conditioned to very readily and happily accept what is being spewed to them from that stage.
Because these are people who like believe in goodness and they just want to do good and they want to help. And I understand all of that. It's just, it's what we were saying about the pastor like and his family. Now, when you have a brand new family to the church that is trying to be your best friend, you should know to question that.
It's just like, this was a perfect captive audience for
her.
It's not a mistake she was at this church.
Totally.
She was like, let me see the richest suckers I can find.
Yes.
Where are they? At the FCC church.
Right.
Now, Lindsay, the former atheist, says,
the miracle in itself that she could be so terminal and so alive at the same time led me to believe that she was anointed.
But also, Lindsay, listen to yourself.
Listen to what you're saying.
Like, I think it's what you're saying about the conditioning, because when Lindsay said that, it really hit me. I'm like, girl, you are ignoring your instincts. The other way of saying that sentence is, it's curious that she could be so terminal and so alive at the same time.
Now, Lindsay says a lot of things like this during these four episodes.
Lindsay is so grateful to be converted.
I wonder if she's a little bit of a victim of editing here.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if she's saying things as she felt them then.
Uh-huh,
because
maybe.
Because she's sitting here now.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I'm calling her Lindsay, the former atheist. Don't come for me. I have a ton of friends who are atheists. Like, it's just an identifier. We're meeting a lot of people in this doc.
Uh-huh.
But she really
God,
did.
Atheism, I don't know. I mean, I totally accept that people are atheists and that's totally fine. But like, I want to believe that I'm going to see you again.
I'm not going to tell people how to be. But
no,
I,
me either.
Like,
but atheism is very brave, as they always say, because it's just like, okay, damn. Like, really make good use of your time here, because whoa.
And I'm also never going to argue with you, so don't even try.
I know.
You do your thing, I'll do mine.
I'm not saying you believe what you want to believe, but I just like, I don't know.
Yeah. The worst kind of atheist is someone who wants to talk about how they're an atheist.
Totally.
And that goes with like every single person about every single thing. But like, I'm not arguing with you. I don't care.
Right. I totally... I don't.
Like,
wait, just real quick, what do you think happens when we die?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know. I think if I were to like label it, it would kind of be more like an agnostic, I guess, where it's like, I'm super spiritual. I have my things that I do. I believe in it. We're not alone here.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you like really what I think. I mean, I hope something really beautiful and nice.
Uh-huh.
But I no, I don't think we're like worm food and that's it.
No. No, we definitely go somewhere awesome.
Because I believe that there are people who've passed over around us and around me.
Yeah.
So we got to go somewhere. And I have to believe it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And this is what faith is. It's comfort.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's nice to think that I'll see people again and that, you know, I feel like they're around
their
me.
Their energy or like, I don't know that we're a human form or whatever it is, but there's something. Tyler the Medium says we definitely go somewhere.
And all the dogs go to heaven. So.
Totally. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Lindsay, when you're looking at a person and you're saying, like, it's so amazing that she can be so terminal and so alive. Like, listen to what your brain is actually saying. Your brain is telling you, this is weird.
I think she was saying it like, this is what we were all thinking.
Uh-huh.
Because the point is, the fact that Amanda was still alive was actually making people feel stronger about their faith.
Yes.
Like, they were super into the church because of her.
Totally.
Like, look at what God has done for this woman.
Yeah.
So it was mutually beneficial for the church and for
Amanda. Then it's like maybe the church was in on it.
Because everyone's making a shit ton of money.
100%.
So two things happened to Amanda at the same time.
Oh, God.
It's going to sound like I'm saying it wrong. I'm not. It's so unbelievable. You'll be like, Jillian, check your facts.
Wait, what? Yeah.
This is what she is claiming is happening to her.
I'll never forget the doctor's words. He said, your cancer's back and you're pregnant.
When I went down to do her second maternity shoot, I remember talking to her and she's like, I know, it's such a miracle, baby. She said, I had an IUD because I was going through treatment and I got pregnant with the IUD while doing treatment.
Yes.
It's a miracle, baby, to say the least. Also, we need to stop using the word miracle. None of these are miracles. They're just lies.
They're just lies.
They're unbelievable.
There's no way I should be able to have a baby. Somebody should be able to say, like, what's going on here?
No, you just got pregnant.
You just got pregnant.
You didn't have an IUD.
No.
Nor
and,
cancer.
And look, again, the hindsight of having the documentary handed to I get it. I know that, like, you know, these people are, why would anybody be so cynical as to not believe their friends?
Because the point is, like, what kind of asshole is going to be like, miracle baby, my ass? You're going to be like, wow, congratulations.
Amanda,
really
do you even
baby.
Have cancer?
Like, that's why these people do it. And that's why she went to the community she went to.
Yes.
Like, please. So it's fall 2013. We're with Mahasti, the babysitter.
Mahasti feels to me like the first one to call bullshit.
She's apprehensive at best. Her side eye is perfection. She's literally like,
I said, Amanda, what's happening now with you being pregnant? Oh, my doctor says I could stop the chemo and radiation or anything that is for my cancer till the baby's born, and then we could start again. I said, Amanda, this is your life. You have another child to think about. This one is not here yet. She says, no, they said it's gonna be safe, so I'm gonna do that.
And Mahasi's like, bitch, isn't that gonna kill you?
She's like, no, the doctor said,
yeah,
I can stop any and all cancer treatments until my baby is born and then start back up again. Again,
right.
Also what she's doing is HIPAA. No one can ask a doctor a single question.
But Mahasi's like, I don't think that's how any of this works.
No, girl. But Amanda, here's the other thing. When people like this get away with, they take an inch, they'll take another inch.
Yeah,
they'll take another inch.
Totally.
So Amanda's updating everyone on the blog. Can you believe my miracle baby? Oh my God. She met with a bunch of experts. This is all very possible. She's so excited. Here's my baby bump. And then another twist.
Yeah. Stage four.
Once again.
She's stage four and pregnant.
February to come, 5 hospital stays and 32 doctor's appointments in January alone.
We're suddenly back at church, right?
Oh, God.
This is where Lindsay's about to have her moment.
I was only 2 seats down from her before she stood up, and I heard her say, feeling dizzy. I need to get some water. So she exited the church, and on the way back, fainted while simultaneously urinating on herself. Everybody ran up to her. The core leadership ran up to her. They put their hands over her. Everybody did. They put their hands in the circle and said, heal this woman. Heal her. Oh, God, heal her.
Nobody calls 911.
Nobody calls 911.
They start praying over her and putting their hands on her.
I know.
Heal her. She doesn't deserve this. The first thing you do when someone faints is give them space and call 911. No. They do the opposite. They don't call 911. They swarm her and everyone is touching her. I hate this woman. But can we please not do this?
No. And Lindsay is saying she fell to her knees and commanded God to heal Amanda.
Lindsay was an atheist a week ago.
She heard one song that tricked her
brain. She saw the fog and was like, holy shit.
God is real. God is real.
Now, I'm saying that. I'm not coming for Lindsay.
No.
I'm just saying, think about how compelling it must have been.
I know.
Because atheists fucking love being atheists.
I'm telling you, I'm saying this in all seriousness. If I went to one service, I'd be in hook, line, and sinker.
I don't know about that.
Because my heart is open to it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm like them. I want to be...
I think you'd be annoyed that there were so many people there.
Maybe.
At the very least.
I wasn't getting enough attention, probably.
Yes.
I'd be on the stage giving my testimony in a week.
Yes.
I'd be the Amanda.
That's what I'm saying.
Totally. But I understand that these people are just good people. I'm not coming for them, but it's like, can everyone open your goddamn eyes for 5 seconds?
I'm going to say something here, and I'm not saying it as a negative thing. I'm not saying it as an attack. I'm not saying it as a criticism in any way. But
I'm
saying,
my shirt?
Yes. No. I'm saying we all have to be like honest about it.
Yeah.
If you are in that church, you're looking for something.
Yes. Sure.
That's why people find solace in faith and prayer because you're sort of looking for something, even meditation.
Like, or community or whatever. Yeah.
So, like, I'm not saying that as a bad thing because I am one of you.
Totally.
But, like, all people...
We're in this church.
You know what I'm
saying? You know what I mean?
Like, she has the most captive audience of people who are looking for reasons to believe, I'm alive,
yes.
I beat cancer twice. I'm alive, I have this miracle baby. She's lying to them, but they're going to believe her because they need to.
And she knows you're going to believe her.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
This is no accident that she wants. She probably vetted 10 churches.
Oh, what an asshole.
That's what I mean. Patterns.
We can't even have our mega churches, Julian.
No, we cannot. Tax the churches.
I know.
So,
oh my God, yes.
April 2014. Amanda's second son is born.
Yep.
He's a very healthy baby boy.
Yeah.
Again, I ask, where is the husband? Let's talk about the husband.
Everyone is like, Corey must be so amazing.
He's all over the blog, at least. He's not here and he'll never be in the documentary.
No.
But he's all over the blog. He's the husband of the century.
Yeah.
He's amazing. He's a hero. He's her rock.
But this is now Rebecca. This like breaks my heart. Rebecca's the photographer. Remember, these people all have money. They live in a really wealthy area.
Yes.
And she's like,
Amanda had to quit jobs due to her medical condition. And I knew that money was really tight with everything they were going through. And I just continued to ask Amanda, like, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Because when it's your health and it's life or death, like, nothing should be out of bounds because of cost. I can remember getting emails from Peggy. She was the one that told me about the website. And I donated $500.
And so we learn about Amanda's website.
Yes.
Amanda's a website where you can just click the $500. And why don't you go ahead and make it monthly, Rebecca?
Yes. Well, I just want to say one more thing about Corey.
Yeah.
I think it's Rebecca who says, when I picture Corey, I see him standing behind Amanda.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's it's like when they have kids draw and it's like, why is that person so much bigger than that other person?
Uh-huh.
What does that mean psychologically?
Uh-huh,
but when
uh-huh.
when she's picturing, not next to Amanda.
Right.
Behind.
Totally.
And I think that's really important because now you're right, though. Amanda's raising money for donations for the babies and the cancer patients.
And like Rebecca is like her dear friend and Rebecca gives her $500 and Amanda does the thing that a scammer would do where she blows Rebecca up on the blog and now Rebecca's like, I'm going to go ahead and make that monthly.
So Rebecca, again, $500 every month, happy to do it, automatic payments. Friends are donating. The church is donating a lot of money.
Oh,
they're
God.
Doing events for her. People are literally throwing money at her feet. They are lining up to give her money. They're fighting over who gets to give her the most money the fastest.
It's the only time the church has ever done this.
One time during a Sunday service, the pastor brought Amanda and Corey up on stage.
There was that infamous fog machine, making this a very beautiful, angelic, mystical, special experience.
That pastor felt led in that moment during that service to do a love offering. The church decides if each family gives a dollar, it can be significant enough to be a huge blessing to the Riley family.
People are dropping 50s, 100s,
20s. It's not a cult at all, though.
Throwing money on the stage.
Definitely not weird, and it's definitely not a cult.
Can you imagine you're Amanda, and like you're like, this wasn't even part of the
plan.
Wouldn't
you be mortified?
This is just bonus.
Any normal person would be mortified.
Mortified.
So now, but Angie, like Angie. Angie is a friend and fundraiser.
Yeah.
She was constantly donating. She was constantly promoting Amanda. Angie would go to the bank and take out a shit ton of cash and post it online and be like, this is for you, Amanda. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's weird.
They're doing it for the proximity to the celebrity.
Right. I love donating. I love helping people. But there's something that feels really culty, and it's by design by Amanda's fault. And a little bit the church, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Because now it's become a competition. Who is supporting Amanda the most?
Uh-huh.
Who can win the Amanda support?
Uh-huh.
How much? And that is all tied to money.
Yes.
I get, like, you can't support Amanda without giving money. So now it's an internal competition amongst themselves, orchestrated by Amanda, the fucking puppet master.
And it, like, when you are the scammer and it goes that well, you must have that moment of like, even I couldn't have foreseen it be this easy.
Oh my God.
You know?
She has also scammed Chili's.
I know.
Hashtag Team Amanda has been busy as ever. On June 24th, if you eat at any of four Bay Area Chili's, 20% of your bill will be donated to our family.
There is no excuse.
I mean, where does it end?
My question is, well, how does this affect the servers? That's all I could think about in this moment.
I would love to know.
Is that 20% the tips? Are the servers giving their tips away?
Because they eventually say thanks to the servers.
Yeah,
and
I know. All I could think about, or is that 20% being deducted from the bill before the tip? Like, all I could think about was like, you fucking asshole.
I
like,
know.
Cheating Chili's and cheating the servers, like, unconscionable.
Chili's?
I know.
So, meanwhile, though, remember Lisa and Steve, the friends?
Yes.
They've got no contact with Amanda and Corey.
And we'll get... The timeline's a little confusing, but we will understand why in a minute.
And I'm like, something major happened because Amanda was saying Lisa was like her mom.
So what they're not telling you here is that this is 4 years since they were friends with Lisa and Steve. Time has passed.
Right. Now, Lisa is stalking Amanda's blog.
Yes.
And she's like,
I get an email. It said there's this fundraiser at Chili's. And 20% of the proceeds of all four Chili's restaurants are going to go to Amanda Riley. I was blown away. The year she told me about the cancer was 2010. Well, now she's been diagnosed for the very first time in 2012. I was so, so sick.
She gets wind of Chili's and she's like, not on my watch.
Not on my watch.
Okay.
Because she's like, this was my friend from 4 years ago that I knew something was going down with, but what is this Chili's thing?
So Lisa's like, okay, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Something's going on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, something really went down
and
with
them.
And
she's known it from the beginning.
So we go back to August 2011, 4 years earlier.
Yes.
It's Lisa's birthday party.
So this is still back when Amanda and Corey had just met Steve and Lisa and they've just become really good friends.
They're besties.
Yeah.
Their daughters are in the same class at school. They're super good friends. Now, it's Lisa's birthday party. This is another pattern, everybody. Amanda and Corey go to the party, but at first they weren't sure if they can make it.
Yeah.
So it's like always drama, always high stakes, always attention. And it's like, we don't know if we can come. Oh, I hope you can come. And then they come and it's like, yay,
yay!
You came.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Of course.
It's exhausting. So that night, they go to the party. First, they couldn't come. Oh my God, you're here. It's amazing. You guys, they came.
They
yay. So that night, Corey tells Steve, Corey the faker's husband, tells Steve the friend that Amanda the faker has stage 4 cancer. She is dying.
6 to 12 months to live.
The worst it can be, right?
Yeah.
Now, Lisa and Steve are devastated because not only were they really, really close, like family, they had just gotten married.
Yeah.
Like, they can't believe, like, oh, this young couple.
They've got their whole life ahead of them. What is this young girl going to do without her mother?
Right. But Steve's first wife died of breast cancer.
Yes.
And he's like,
after 8 years.
So he's like, I've been there. I know what that's like. It is devastating. Like, they just can't believe that their dear, dear friends
are about to go through this.
And now Lisa and Steve are amazing because they're like, no, we're going to help. They, quote, make themselves available. Anything they can do, especially with Jessa, because remember, Jessa and their daughter are friends.
Yep.
So Lisa says,
she's stage 4. She's dying. Where are her parents? How come they're not coming around? I thought they were close. And I actually asked her at one point, you know, where are your parents? You're so sick, and where are they? And she said, oh, they're just really busy.
This is where the red flags start coming up for Lisa, because Amanda turns around and she's like, oh, no, they're just really busy.
Life is getting in the way. They can't come.
Right. And Lisa's like, bitch, you're dying in 6 to 12 months.
Like, your mom's not going to drop everything for 6 months. Like, really? Then on top of that, Lisa's like, okay, like, I'm not going to get into the family dynamics.
Right.
Like, people
not
deal
my business,
with shit.
Whatever.
Like, okay, like, that is just it's another horrifying thing, I guess, that's happening to Amanda. Then Amanda asks Lisa to pay for, quote, life-saving blood test, whatever the hell that is.
Theranos.
Guess what? It doesn't exist. It's fake.
Yeah, totally.
So,
but Lisa says, she's like, it was really awkward. And Steve makes this point later. Like,
asking a friend to pay. Because she didn't ask to donate. Remember, this is 4 years before the church and the donation thing.
Totally.
She is going to Lisa's house over, like, tea.
Yes.
And being like, girl, I'm dying. I can live if you pay for my life-saving blood transfusion.
Give me a number, Lisa. Are we talking $200? We're talking $5,000.
I would guess about $5,000.
Yeah. And Lisa, she's like, it was very awkward, but I didn't feel like I could say no.
Because Lisa's gut is screaming at her.
Yes.
She knows something is off. But what if she's wrong?
Right.
What if something is not off? What if it's on?
You can't even question. You know what I mean?
Because then you're a monster for not giving the money for the life-saving
blood transfusion. Or questioning, like, hey, can I have some proof that you actually have cancer?
But, like,
you know?
That's the point.
Right, exactly.
That's what they want you to feel. And also, scammers can make themselves a victim of anything. And it's not just cancer. And it's not just money.
Yeah.
Sometimes they want your emotions.
Yep.
Sometimes they want your time. Sometimes they want your loyalty. Like, scammers can do this for anything.
Yeah.
Just be aware. It's not just cancer in the church.
Right.
It's all the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then Lisa's already, the red flags, her gut is yelling at her.
She's a smart lady.
She's already like, something's off, but she's trying to convince herself she's wrong. Because one, that would be horrifying, right?
Right.
And two, she doesn't want to be a monster, but she's like, what is the best case scenario here? Either my friend really does have cancer or she's lying about it. Like, it's bad both ways.
Exactly.
Then there was the time at the pool date.
Lisa, she's doing a lot of like picking Jessa up from school. That's the other thing. Knowing like, what was Amanda actually really doing when she was pretending to be
kicking her feet up, having a cocktail.
100%.
Or like doing the other scam, God knows what that was.
Yeah.
Date night.
So Lisa picks up Jessa from school one day to bring her over to her house to go swimming. And Amanda comes over, like, later in the day. They're all in the pool. Amanda jumps in the pool.
And she kind of turned to the side, and she had a very small round Band-Aid behind her ear. So I asked her why she had the Band-Aid behind her ear. I was curious. And that's when she told me that she had just had fluid drained off her brain in the hospital. So she was coming from the hospital and she swam underwater after having fluid drained off her brain.
They're in the pool having a lovely afternoon where just hours prior, Amanda was getting her brain drained.
Exactly.
And now she's doing handstands and playing mermaid in the pool.
So Lisa is like, I know that this is not right.
This is it.
And she starts going back through all of the stories that Amanda had told her that like didn't add up, but like she didn't really make a thing of in the moment.
Yeah.
Like she had a long story about how she bought her house, but Lisa then found out that the house was a rental.
Right.
She said there was going to be a bridal magazine covering their wedding. That never happened. Oh, and she's working on a PhD in clinical psychology at Stanford.
From Stanford, absolutely.
But
not.
Never goes to class.
No. Lisa is done.
Yeah.
And she's like, now I know that she's a liar.
Yes.
And she goes, I want Corey and Amanda out of our lives now.
Because think about it. They've given them money, but they've given them emotional labor and physical labor. She's like, all of the crying that she had done over it.
They think that their friend's dying in 6 months.
And Steve's wife had died of breast cancer. They knew that when they made up this lie.
They were probably having very real conversations about the roles that they're going to have in her kids' lives.
Yes, 100%.
That's a huge thing to ask of someone, and it's a major life change for people. Like, they really gave a lot in every sense.
Yeah, like, it's also like Lisa feels like she can't confront her. She just wants her out.
Out. And that's true. When something like that happens, there's no, you can't reason with these people.
Yes.
You just got to get them out of your life.
That is 100% the smart thing to do.
So Lisa stops answering Amanda's phone calls.
Yeah.
And so Amanda starts calling Lisa's niece, lying about how she's pregnant and she wants Lisa and Steve to be the godparents. It's just so desperate and transparent. But Lisa doesn't take the bait.
No, but Amanda does keep calling. And eventually Lisa says, she's like, I realized I was going to have to deal with this one way or the other at some point.
She's got to pick up the phone to to end the conversation.
Exactly.
Because right now it's like an ellipsis. She's got to put a period.
And Amanda's never going to stop. She's insatiable.
So I answered the phone and she said, I'm pregnant. And I said, I thought you were dying. And she said, the pregnancy is reversing the disease. They just wanted to be in pretend mode. They were never going to admit that they did anything wrong. And I hung up the phone and I have not spoken to her since.
I was dying. But the pregnancy is actually reversing my cancer.
The pregnancy is reversing the cancer.
This is, again, she then changed the story to a more, quote, believable one 4 years later.
Exactly.
But this is her dress rehearsal.
Yes.
This is round one of this lie of how she's going to be pregnant and have cancer at the same time.
Yeah.
Now, she worked out the kinks with Lisa, and then she really was ready for prime time 4 years later.
I wonder what Amanda thought when she saw Lisa in the documentary.
So now Lisa, all that happened
4 years ago.
Then Lisa hears about this Chili's fundraiser.
So it's 4 years later that this friend that she knows is a scammer is now, she's read the blog, she sees all the money she's raising, the Chili's scam.
Right, and she's seeing that, like, oh my God, Chili's is like the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
People were giving her money, donating signed memorabilia, real true fundraisers.
That she knows Amanda's just selling and keeping the money.
And Lisa goes, and then I saw that fight song video. Fight song,
take back my life. To raise money for Amanda and to get her story out there, they made a video and used Rachel Platten's fight song, which is such an empowering anthem and lyrically speaks to what Amanda was going through.
It's an awareness music video, we're told, where some lovely couple from the church, once again, generously offered to do this big thing for Amanda.
Yeah.
Amanda's like mugging for the camera while the song plays. She is, this is no joke, ripping up a piece of paper that has the word dying printed on it.
Yes.
So just to paint a picture, someone went to their computer, typed the word dying on a Word document, printed it out, handed the piece of paper to Amanda, who is now gleefully ripping it up in front of a body of water.
Yeah.
Would this not push you over the edge,
100%. And she's getting people from all over the country to be in the video.
She's, like, frolicking on the beach.
Oh, my God.
She's sitting by the fire. The whole family's in it.
Lindsay goes, not to brag, but I'm in the video. I was like, Lindsay, you're not hearing yourself.
If Kyle Chandler shows up in this video, so help me. Like he did for Anatomy of Lies. I'm like,
totally.
Kyle Chandler, if they got coach, I'm
going to be done. They got Matthew Morrison, who's garbage enough.
Like, this video is meant to be a tearjerker, but it's just insufferable. I can't even look at it.
It's insufferable.
So, no contact. Lisa is incensed. She has had it.
She's had it.
Again, please watch it. She's ripping up a piece of paper with the word dying
it's
on
horrible.
It. It's such poor taste.
Yeah.
I feel like real people with real cancer was like, what the fuck is that?
I know.
So no contact, Lisa's incensed. And she goes, Amanda wanted it to go viral. Well, I went to YouTube and I gave it a thumbs down.
Which she's like,
Lisa.
That's all I could do, which I didn't even know you could do that on YouTube.
But then she calls her friends and has her friends give them more thumbs down.
Yes.
God damn it. And I'm like, yes. So it's, now though,
they're thumbs downing the video. I love it.
In the next blog, Amanda is complaining about people who don't support her and people have abandoned her. And cut to Lisa, who's like, I know it was those thumbs down that got her. It was the downvotes that totally got to her.
I love that Lisa knows she got to Amanda.
Yeah.
You know?
Because who's thumbs downing a cancer video?
100%.
Lisa, I wish I would have known you. I would have thumbs down the shit out of that video.
I know.
I would have made other accounts thumbs down.
Totally. I
love it. I would have told everyone I knew. So let's go to Los Angeles, California.
Oh my God.
With Nancy Muscatello.
Which you cannot tell me that's not the last name of the mouse from An American Tale.
Fievel?
Mouskowitz, I think is the name.
It's like Fievel Mouskowitz, right?
Yeah.
Fievel. I can't talk about Fievel. I'm going to start
crying. Fievel Muscatello.
Like, I'm going to start crying.
I know.
She's an investigative producer for TV. And in 2015, she's working on Crime Watch Daily.
Yes.
And she's actively looking for scam stories.
Yes.
She's not looking for, like, any story she thinks is interesting.
She wants scam stories.
She's scams. So she's posting in all these different communities online, like, do you or someone you know been scammed?
Yeah.
She's really actively looking for people who have stories. Now, dog alert, Nancy has a little dog.
Yes.
He's giving a little bark.
Uh-huh.
His name is Mr. Munch, and we get so much of him next week. He is the star of next week's episode.
Is that right?
We see little certificates that he's gotten.
No way.
He gets his own closed captions. He's barking.
Oh my, what do you get dog certificates for?
For being like a brave best boy. Something happened. It's from the vet. I took a screenshot in the timestamp. Don't worry about it.
Oh my God.
His name is Mr. Munch.
Okay, great.
Heavily featured in episode 2.
Oh, I can't wait.
Hang tight. But someone.
Yeah.
Someone.
Someone. Some unnamed, as yet unnamed person.
Sends Amanda's blog to Nancy.
Yes.
I believe that I have a story that you might be very interested in checking out. There is a 30-year-old woman in Silicon Valley, California, who is now claiming to have stage 4 blood cancer. This person was adamant that they knew that what she was saying was false and that she didn't have cancer. So that intrigued me. There was a lot of information to go on.
So apparently the tipster is a major part of the podcast. And right. In the podcast, she's anonymous.
And I'm like, it's got to be Lisa, right?
Right.
It's got to be Lisa.
I mean, it's got to be Lisa.
Especially because of the thumbs down and all this stuff. I'm like, wait, Lisa's the only person here who saw through Amanda's. It's got to be
from the beginning. It's either that or the babysitter.
Right. And I'm hoping it's someone we know. Because I like want to take this journey with Lisa. I'm
totally.
Like, please be Lisa. Please be Lisa.
My name is Lisa Berry. And I am the anonymous source. It's time. I'm proud of it. I'm proud that I'm the anonymous source.
Yeah. That's what it's Lisa.
It's Lisa.
So it ends with...
Lisa announces herself as the tipster in the documentary. Like, that's the big thing.
She goes, it's time. I'm proud of it.
Now, imagine being Amanda. You know what I mean? And watching this documentary and find, like, I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it.
Because what Lisa ends up doing, like, knowing... what Lisa knows, Amanda's stomach must have been in her butt. Because all of, like, the things she tried to pull with Lisa, she then, like, changed and edited and perfected and then would end up using on other people.
Totally.
My question is, what the hell was she doing in between those 4 years?
Right.
Like, where are other... I wonder if after this documentary came out, if there were people who came forward saying, like, oh, because I can't see her not scamming for 4 years.
Totally. And I want more for, like, at least in the Anatomy of Lies, we learned about Elizabeth, whatever her name is, like, her childhood and what she was like before. I want, like, was Amanda doing this her whole life?
I think she was. And I think her mother was in on it.
Oh, my God!
All right, Mr. Munch, we're coming for you next week. Oh. This little puppy.
Oh, fair.
I mean,
thank God.
Right? Like, no. What is there to say?
It's absolutely banana. It only gets crazier and crazier. Is this the one where she fainted in church and pissed herself?
Yes.
Okay.
And they all ran to her and just started touching her instead of giving her air. Like
she like had to prepare to piss herself at church. Like she had to go to church that day knowing she was going
to
do
committing
it.
Committing to the bit. Big time. Could never be me. I could never do that.
No, I could barely be in like a public restroom.
Oh my God. Well, that is pissing your pants then, right? Anyway, could never be us for a great many
reasons.
We're
not doing it. Fam, all 4 episodes are available right now and ad-free on the Pates. It's where you get the other 450 full ad-free bonus apps to download the second you sign up.
That's right.
We love you. Thanks for checking this out.
Yeah, and we'll, you know, don't, like, lie.
Stay safe. Don't fake cancer.
Yeah, don't lie. And if your gut is like, then listen to that, too.
You know what? That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. We're not 11 anymore.
Don't fake cancer.
Right.
And listen to your gut. Okay, love you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
See you later, Mr. Munch. Love you.
Sage advice from GP. Follow from her hot tips.
Oh.